All right, here's what I'd like you to do with me this morning. Open your Bibles to two places, Psalm 55 and Numbers chapter 11. Psalm 55 and Numbers chapter 11. Open your Bibles to both of those two places. I am so glad that you're here this morning. Thank you so much for being in the house of God. Honored to have you with us. Psalm 55, Numbers chapter 11. You know, we're in, they say that Florida is the place. I might not should say this. I don't know. I don't know if it'll offend anybody or not. This is what they say. They say that Florida is the place for the newlywed and the nearly dead. Amen. That's what they, has anyone ever heard that before? Okay. All right. We have a lot of retirees down here, and I praise God for them. I'm so thankful that I get to pastor in the state of Florida. But I heard a story about there was an elderly couple that walked into McDonald's. And they went up to the counter and ordered their food, and they went. And there was a lot of younger couples that were sitting in this McDonald's dining room, and so this elderly couple got their food and they picked out a booth over on the far back side of the dining room, and they started pulling their food out of the bag, and people started noticing there was just one cheeseburger, one thing of French fries, and one drink, and that was it. And so some of the people started thinking, boy, that's sweet to see. You can tell this couple, they had to be married for, I don't know, 60-something years, and they seem so close. You can tell that they fought a lot of, they faced a lot of storms together, and it's so sweet to see this, but boy, I feel so bad for them. People started feeling bad. They just got this one cheeseburger and this one thing of French fries and one drink, and so the husband got out the cheeseburger and took a knife and cut it in half, and then he divided the French fries evenly into two different piles, and so finally there was one husband there who was young, and he was watching this, and he told his wife, I'm going to go offer to buy them another meal so they don't have to share that. So he went over to him and said, I couldn't help but notice the split in the cheeseburger and the French fries and all that. And would you let me go and buy you guys another meal? And the husband said, well, young man, I appreciate that, but we've been married for so long. We've shared everything, all of our marriage. We always just share everything we've got. And so we're used to this. This is fine. And so he said, are you sure? And I said, yeah. And so he said, okay. And he went and sat down. And so the husband was eating his food, but people noticed that the wife was just kind of sitting there, not eating anything, and so couldn't figure out what was wrong. And so he now finished his cheeseburger, started eating his French fries, and she was just sitting there waiting, and every now and then took a sip of her drink. And so the guy walked back over there, and he said, I understand that you like to share, but there, you know, I really would love to just get y'all another meal that you could have, and why don't you let me just get you one more? And they said, no, I'm telling you, we're fine. We share everything. We've been married for so long. And he said, well, if you don't mind my asking, ma'am, your husband has been eating. What are you waiting on? If y'all share everything, why don't you eat your side of the cheeseburger and your French fries? And she said, well, I can't. It's his turn to use the teeth. I don't know if that was a true story or not. Oh, boy. Psalm 55, and look at verse 22, and then we'll go to Numbers chapter 11, and you don't have to keep a bookmark in Psalm 55. By the way, on the back table, we also have some bookmarks that have been made up, so if you'd like to be able to have that in your Bible for when I have you turn to different places, you're welcome to grab one of those. Psalm 55 and verse 22, if you're there, give me a big amen this morning. Amen. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Now, if you would please flip over to the left, Numbers chapter 11, and this is where we'll spend the rest of the message. Numbers, for the most part, Numbers chapter 11 and verse 4. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 4. Psalm 55:22 says, to cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Now we're going to look at a story in Numbers chapter 11. This is something that Moses is going through, and he's praying to the Lord. Our text verse is going to be in verses 11 and verse 14, but for the sake of understanding the story, we're going to read from verse 4, Numbers chapter 11 and verse 4. And if you're there, give me a big amen. In the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it into a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou hast layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that they should say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. The title of my message this morning is, This Burden is Too Heavy for Me. This burden is too heavy for me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, thank you for everyone that you've brought to your house today. Father, my prayer is that you would fill this house with your Holy Spirit's power this morning, that you touch our hearts. Lord, like a searchlight out of heaven, please search the hearts sitting in the pews this morning and touch us and break us. And Lord, give us something that we can take home and put into practice. I want to be an encouragement and a blessing this morning. Father, fill me with your power. You know I can't do this without you. I pray for the kids next door. Be with the workers. Miss Sarah, she teaches. Help them to have a good time. Father, we give you all the honor and glory for everything that is said and done in here today. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Here is Moses, and if you got to look at what he's gone through, I'll kind of tell you what he has gone through leading up to this point in Numbers chapter 11. First of all, Moses' ministry begins at the burning bush. You remember he's there. God appears to him in the form of a burning bush, but the bush is not being consumed. And he says, Moses, take your shoes off. The place where you're standing is holy ground. And he tells them, I've heard the cry of the children of Israel, which are in Egypt, and I've seen their bondage. I know their sorrows. I'm come down to deliver them out, and I want to send you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses scares him to death. He said, Lord, who am I to go and do this? They won't listen to me. And so, but God says, Moses, I created the earth. I laid the foundations. I'm able to do everything that I want to do, and I'm sending you. And if I'm sending you, I'll give you the power to do it. And so Moses says, okay, and he leaves and he goes to Pharaoh. And so he's got the stress of the call, and I'm not, I'm not worthy. I don't know if I'm willing to take this on, but he surrenders and he goes. And then he has to face the confrontation with Pharaoh as he walks into the Pharaoh's court and says, God said, thus saith the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, who is this God that I should listen to him? And so Moses has this confrontation with Pharaoh, and Moses fully expected, when he showed him the staff that turned into a serpent, he expected Pharaoh to give in and say, whoa, I didn't realize this was really God. Yes, I'll let you go. That's not what happened. Pharaoh got angry and said, okay, Moses, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make their work even harder, double it, and made their job harder than it was. So then Moses has to face the discouragement of, it didn't work. Lord, I thought you sent me. Did I say something wrong? Is this not what you wanted me to do? And now the children of Israel are angry at him. And so he has to face that stress. Then he has to go through the 10 plagues of Egypt. And he has this competition back and forth between God and Pharaoh. And Moses is the go-between. And so Pharaoh comes to Moses and says, please get rid of the lice. Please get rid of the flies. Please get rid of whatever. And I'll let your people go. And it's back and forth in this taxing job that Moses has. Then finally, the last plague takes place. Pharaoh lets the people go, and they start to they go to the Red Sea crossing. Remember what happens? They get there. They set up camp. Pharaoh starts to second guess himself and realize, you know what? Who's going to build our cities now? And I just let this Moses make a mockery of me, and I'm not going to lose. And God had all of his chariots of war together, and they take off after the children of Israel. They're on their way there. I'm sure Moses is excited to finally be seeing some victory take place, but all of a sudden there's a noise of a rumbling behind as all those horses and chariots' hooves are striking the desert floor. The children of Israel turn around and see it. Boy, they start blaming Moses. You should have let us die in Egypt. You should have let us stay in Egypt. It'd be better to stay in Egypt and be a slave than die in the desert. So they turn on him. Moses goes to God. God, what do I do? God says, Moses, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Spread your staff out over the Red Sea. Remember what happens? They cross through. Moses has got a stressful job. He has the Red Sea crossing. Then they go for 3 days in the wilderness of Shur without any water. And so finally the children of Israel are complaining and they're murmuring. And they were doing that constantly. Just constant complaining and murmuring. We're thirsty. We need water. And so that Moses is happy because they get to a place called Marah. and there's finally a pool of water here, and I'll get these people off of my back, and we can come and drink. But they discover quickly the water is bitter or poisonous. And so Moses now turns to God, and here they go back to Egypt again. We should have stayed in Egypt. So Moses says, God, what do I do? And God said, Moses, don't panic. Just cut a tree branch off from this tree and throw it in. That's picturing the cross of Christ making bitter lives sweet. And he throws it in the water, and the water turns pure. And so the children of Israel, then they are thankful and they drink. And so then after that, they go into what's called the wilderness of sin, and they're there with no food. And so God starts sending manna. The children of Israel are complaining, we're starving, there's no food, we should have stayed back in Egypt. And so God says, tell them in the morning to come out here, and there's going to be some manna on the ground. And boy, they were so thankful. And so Moses had to go through that. And then they get attacked by the Amalekites. You remember the battle where Moses is holding his staff up in the air, and as long as he's got it up, they're winning the battle. And so Moses goes through all of that, and it's stressful and fighting the war, but they win. And so now they're at another place where there's no more water, and so they are angry at Moses, and they're angry at God, and they're murmuring and complaining. And Moses goes back to God and says, God, what do I do? The children of Israel are complaining. There's no water. And so God says, Moses, take your staff and smite this rock at Horeb. And so Moses smites the rock, and it splits in half, and then all that water comes flowing out. God answers that prayer. Then they get to Sinai, where Moses goes up onto Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's gone. He's receiving the Ten Commandments and the law, and so much of what you and I read in the Pentateuch, Moses is receiving at this time. Children of Israel are down. Where'd Moses go? We want to worship somebody for taking us out of Egypt, and God's gone. Moses is gone. Joshua's gone. Aaron, can you make for us some gods? And so Aaron causes all the children of Israel to backslide. He says, bring me all of your gold. And he makes this golden calf, and they start acting like Egypt again. They start singing Egypt's music, and they take off their clothes, and they start acting like Egypt. And when they're on their way down, Joshua says, Moses, sounds like a sound of war in the camp. And Moses said, Joshua, it's not war, it's sin. They get down there. Moses, when he sees the way they're dressed and acting, and he sees the calf, he's so furious. He takes the stone tablets written with the finger of God and throws it and crushes them. And so Moses, God gives them new tablets, and Moses goes through the stress of trying to fix the problem, and he tells God, God, I don't want to go on if you're not going to be with us. And so they finally fix that. Now we get to a place called Taberah in the beginning of Numbers chapter 11, and the people are again complaining and murmuring against God, and so there's a fire that starts in the outskirts of the camp, and Moses goes to God and prays away the fire. And so, and not only all of those steps, that sounds like a very stressful life and a stressful ministry, a heavy burden. But not only all of that, but think about how stressful it would have been. 2 to 4 million people traveling all this course. I remember, I've got two kids. We've got one that's on the way. But Ashton and Avonlea, and Ashton's 4 and Avonlea's 3. Now I understand why Dad was always stressed out on family vacations. Right? Well, we're having a fun time. We're going to the mountains, or we're going to the coast. You know, and Dad's in a bad mood. Now I understand it. All right, the process of trying to get the kids dressed and get the kids in the car and get the suitcases in the car and have to stop every 10 minutes to go potty and all of this stuff. Could you imagine what Moses is going through, orchestrating 2 or 3 million people as they go through, and he's putting up with this constantly? And so now we arrive in Numbers chapter 11, and the children of Israel come to Moses and they say, we're hungry. And Moses says, you've got manna. And they said, we're sick of manna. That's all we've had to eat. We want meat. And so then Moses is listening, and he can hear them from their tents crying because they are so sick of eating the manna. So Moses finally throws his hands up and goes to God and says, God, I can't do this anymore. I've had it. I've carried this thing as far as I can carry it. They have murmured and they have complained every step of the way. You've come through. You've solved the problem. But they keep getting upset. And this is the last straw for me. I can't do it any longer. It's too heavy. He said, this burden that you've given me to bear is too heavy for me to carry. I'm done. I'm sick of it. He even tells God in verse 15, he said, if thou wilt deal thus with me, if this is your plan for me, if this is how you're going to treat me, God, I pray thee out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. He says, kill me. Verse 15, if thou deal thus with me, kill me. Lord, I'm sick of it. I can't handle it anymore. This burden that you've given me to bear is too heavy. Just if this is how you're going to treat me, then I'm just ready to go home to heaven. I don't want to have to keep trying to lift this burden anymore. You can imagine the stress that Moses is going through. You ever been here before? You ever look back and I've got this going on, 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 and you wanted to go to God and say, God, I can't lift this by myself. This burden is too heavy. There's no way that I can lift it. I can't carry it. I've got so much going on. Why does when it rains, it pours? Why are you putting so much on my plate? I'm dealing with this family problem. I've got this financial deadline. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. All of these things together. God, it's too heavy. I can't lift it. I can't do this anymore. Lord, you might even been in the place. And tonight, there are certain people in Scripture that actually made a death wish. They finally said, God, just take me home and kill me. I'm going to preach on that tonight. We're going to look at those instances and talk about people, good people. Moses was a good person, wasn't living in sin, but just so tired from the burden that he said, Lord, just take me home. We're going to talk about that tonight. Hope you come back tonight at 6 o'clock. But Moses said, God, I'm sick of it. I can't do it anymore. If this is how you're going to treat me, just take me home. But you know, Moses made a mistake. And it's Moses' fault that he is going through what he's going through. See, Moses' mistake was this. Go with me. If you hold your finger in Numbers chapter 11 and flip to your left to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Y'all still with me this morning?
Amen.
Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. Hold your finger in Numbers 11. We're going to come right back to it. Here's the mistake that Moses made, and it's why Moses was in the position that he was in. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. All right, now you hold your finger in Exodus 3. I'm going to read part of Numbers chapter 11 again real quickly while you're in Exodus chapter 3. Look what he says. Listen to what he says in verse 11. Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou givest, that layest the burden of all this people upon me? Verse 14, I am not able to bear it. It is too heavy for me. Verse 13, whence should I have flesh to give to all this people? For they weep unto me. So what's Moses' mistake? Look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. God is telling Moses what he's going to do. And he says, and what is that next word? I am come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt and to bring them out of that land into a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the mistake Moses made. Moses, this burden's not on you. It's on me. You're not supposed to carry the children of Israel out of bondage and into the land of Canaan. I'm supposed to.
Right.
Where Moses messed up is he forgot that the buck didn't stop with him.
Right.
All right, boy, isn't it nice when you're working and something goes wrong? I grew up in working in ministries, big days and promotions and programs and things, and it was nice back when the buck didn't stop with me. And if there was an issue that couldn't be solved, I would say, yeah, go see Brother Allen, okay? Go see so-and-so. Go see Dad, all right? Now I'm at the place where if something goes wrong, I can't look to anybody and say, go ask him. Let him solve the problem. Now the buck stops with me. All right? Moses forgot something. The buck doesn't stop with you. You don't have to figure it out. God's not working for Moses. Moses is working for God. And for some reason, Moses didn't take the burden to the Lord. He kept holding it on himself and looking, and he's saying, how am I supposed to give him? They're sick of manna. How am I supposed to give him flesh? Moses, you're not supposed to give him flesh. You're not the miracle worker. But Moses forgot that the burden is on God, and he put the burden on himself, and he said, Lord, it's too heavy for me. I cannot do it. And Moses made the same mistake that you and I often make. He held on to his burden and tried to carry it himself. You weren't supposed to carry your burden. God told you what to do in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 when he said, casting all your care or worries, stress. He said, casting all your care upon who? Him. For he careth for you.
Right.
We read Psalm 55:22. When it says, cast your burden to who? On the Lord. And he will sustain thee. God has already instructed Moses and all of us what to do. I don't want you to pick up that burden that you've got and try to carry it. It's too heavy for you. What I want you to do is pick it up and turn and just put it on me. Moses, it's my job to give him meat, not yours. Moses, it's my job to worry about it when all the children of Israel are crying, not yours. But Moses made that mistake and he kept the burden on himself instead of turning and giving it to God. You could illustrate it like this. Has anybody ever loaded some hay bales before? Those square hay bales, all right? Some farmers or something? Yeah, I think they say they average somewhere between, 65 and 75 pounds. Does that sound about right? And so those are not designed for you to be able to pick up more than one at a time. Y'all follow me this morning? They're not designed for you to be able to pick up more than one at a time. You're supposed to pick up one and put it on the truck and go pick up another one and then put it on the truck. And you go back and forth like that. Now, here's what a lot of times what Christians do. Now, God has told us, you take your burdens to me one at a time. I've got this problem in my life. It's too heavy for me to carry. So all I do is I pick it up and I take it to God in prayer and I say, God, this is what I'm dealing. Moses should have just gone to God and said, God, instead of getting mad at him and angry with him and saying, how am I supposed to give him meat? I'm no miracle worker. He should have gone to God and said, God, the children of Israel are crying again. They're murmuring again because they're needing food. What are you going to do about it? And put the bail on the truck. Now, here's what a lot of times we do. We'll sit back and look at a huge stack full of hay bales and say, there's no way I can lift that. Brother Brian and I, for Family Fun Night last year, we went and borrowed a bunch of hay bales. And put it on a trailer and took it, and we had the hay bales scattered out here. There was a business let us borrow them. And I think we borrowed 20 of them or so, and so that's somewhere around 1,300 to 1,400 pounds, and him and I loaded it. You know what that means? That means Brother Brian and I can lift together at one time 1,400 pounds. Is that what happened? We can't lift that, can we? You know, I could have looked at that trailer and said, there's Brother Brian, there is no way you and I can lift that. That's just too much weight. You know what we'll do sometimes in life is we'll start listing our burdens. God, I've got this. I'm dealing with this. I've got this deadline I got to get done this week. I've got this, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. There's no way I can lift all of this. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to go take one at a time, right. Pick up one, and go put it on the truck and say, God, here's this burden. Tell him about it. Tell him what it is. Pray. Ask. It's his job to solve it. He's the miracle worker, not you. And put it on the truck and just go get the next one. And you take them one at a time. And by the time it's all said and done, you can look back at the barn that's just full and say, wow, look what I was able to accomplish. You couldn't have picked it up all by yourself. But you were strong enough to just take one at a time and bring it to God. Moses made that mistake of keeping it himself. And it's the same mistake that you and I make on a regular basis. Boy, we start looking at everything going on in our life and look at it all together. Look how high that stack is. 13, 14, 1,500 pounds, 2,500 pounds. Preacher, I can't lift this. This burden is too heavy for me. Everything I've got going on, God doesn't want you to lift it. He doesn't want you to carry it. He just wants you to take one at a time and go bring it to him. That makes sense this morning? Yeah. Now, when Moses made the mistake of not taking his burden to the Lord, we sang the song this morning, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. There's another hymn that we sing sometimes, Leave It There. Remember the song? Leave it there, leave it there. Sing it with me if you know it. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. God gave you enough strength to pick up the burden and take it to Him. He didn't give you enough to try to carry it. He didn't give you enough to pick them all up at the same time. And so Moses made this mistake, keeping it himself. But look what it did to him. In effect, when Moses made this mistake of not giving the burden to God, it affected him. Number one, it affected his spirit. Look at verse 10. Y'all still with me? Amen. Look at verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. All right? It's hurting his spirit. And he starts to talk to God disrespectfully. It's affecting. Look at verse 11. And Moses said to the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Now, you know what Moses is doing right now? He's falsely accusing God. God didn't afflict Moses. Moses is just carrying God's burden. That's Moses' fault, not God's. But because Moses didn't do the right thing with his burden, it's hurting his spirit, and he's now accusing God falsely. Y'all follow me? Why'd you afflict this your servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived? Now he's getting sarcastic. What, have I conceived them? Is it my family? Since when did they become my responsibility, God? Did I carry, you know, what? Were they my offspring that you would say to me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father, beareth the suckling child, or the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Lord, what, are they my offspring? Now he says in verse 13, when should I have flesh to give all this people? What am I supposed to do, just make meat? You want to just perform a miracle, God? It's affected his spirit, and now he's being disrespectful in how he talks to God. You ever had a burden that was so heavy, and truthfully, the fault was not that God gave you the burden, but that you didn't give it back to him. But in frustration, in moments of stress, and moments of anxiety, you went to God in prayer saying, God, what's up with this? Why did you put this on? When I don't do what I'm supposed to do with my burden, which is pick it up and give it to him and let him handle it, it hurts my spirit. That's what partly starts causing depression in the lives of some Christians, is they're holding on to burdens that they're supposed to give to God. Let's keep reading. Look at this. Look what it says here in verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 15, and if thou deal thus with me, kill me. Lord, I want to die. When Moses did not take his burden to God and put it on the truck, it's hurt Moses' spirit enough that he is now in a state of depression where he's saying, I no longer want to live. And that wasn't God's fault. That was Moses' fault for trying to carry a burden that he should have given to God. You following me?
Yeah.
So it hurt his spirit. And you know, when I allow my burdens to overwhelm me instead of taking them and putting them on the truck, it affects my spirit. But I don't even have to tell you that, because you and I both know that from experience, don't we? We have times when the situations have just totally overwhelmed us and it affected our spirit. We start being short with our families, short with our spouse, short with God. Getting to a place where you start asking questions like, is this worth it? All this work that I've got to do. You know what you're doing is you're looking at the whole trailer instead of just one at a time taking them to God. It affects my spirit, but not only that, it affected his faith. Look at verse 21. He goes to God in frustration. And he says in verse 21, and Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Here's what Moses said. All right, God, the people are saying that they want meat. You said you're going to give it to them. What do you want me to do? Just create some? Lord, do you want me to go fishing long enough to provide enough for all these people? You think all of this cattle that we're taking, you want us to eat all the inventory? God, is that what you're expecting us to do? You know what Moses has done? He's allowed the fact that he didn't take his burden to the Lord stress him and overwhelm him to the point that it hurt his spirit, and it's also hurt his faith, because he's only looking at the temporal and he's not seeing the impossible. He's saying, what, you want us to go fishing? Do we eat all the food that's here? He's not thinking about the fact that God has performed miracle after miracle after miracle. He hit a rock and water came out. He threw the stick in the water and it turned poison water clean. There's bread on the ground every morning when they wake up. But he's lowered. Moses' faith has been affected to the point that he can't see the impossible. He can only see what man can do. You know what I do? Every time I look at all my burdens together, and instead of just picking it up and saying, God, here it is, you're going to have to do it, I can't do it, and going and getting another one and picking it up and saying, God, you're going to have to handle this for me, I can't. When I slid all that pile up and just look at it and say, God, is too heavy for me, I can't lift it, it's going to affect my spirit in a negative way, but it's also going to hurt my faith. It's going to hurt my faith. I wonder how many times, boy, dealing with finances, maybe in my personal life with my family or finances of the church or whatever things, and boy, I stop taking the burden to God. I forget to do that, and I start trying to figure it out myself. You know, we're eventually going to get to the place where we say, God, this burden is too heavy. Look, I've got this, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got to handle. I can't lift all of this stuff. And what that will do is it will cause me to start thinking with what man can do. And I'll stop thinking about what the miracle worker can do, because it can hurt my faith. And so I've got to take my burden to the Lord. If not, it will hurt my spirit and it'll hurt my faith. And every time you and I don't take our burdens to the Lord, it affects ours the same way. When we try to carry the burdens of health or whatever it else it is in the church. It's going to stress us out, and it's little by little not only going to affect our spirit, but start depleting our faith. So here's the question, though. What did God do? How did God handle Moses? Look what he said. First of all, he had Moses share the burden with others. He had Moses share the burden with others. Look what it says in verse 16. Y'all still with me? Okay, Numbers 11, 16. Y'all are quiet this morning. Numbers 11, 16, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of thee the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." When I look at my burdens and I don't take them to the Lord, it causes me to wonder and doubt. It hurts my spirit. It hurts my strength. It hurts my faith. But God wants me to take those burdens, according to Galatians 6:2, which says, "Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And I can share those burdens with people around me. Now, God says share them with spiritual people. God told Moses to pick out the elders, the spiritual ones, and the spiritual leaders of the church of Israel, of the nation of Israel. But I'm able to take that to my spouse. I'm able to take that burden to my leaders and say, "I need help picking this up and giving it to God." Because I'll be honest with you right now, my faith is struggling. I'm struggling to think that God can handle this. So I go to another person that has faith, that's not going through the burden, trying to carry the burden that I'm carrying, and their faith is stronger than mine, and they can grab the other end of it and say, "Come on, ready? 1, 2, 3. Let's put it up on the truck." And they can help me bear that burden. And we need to have spiritual authorities in our lives and spiritual friends and brothers and sisters in Christ that you can go to and say, "I need help. I've got a burden, and I'm struggling to get it on the truck. I need to tell you about it. Can you help pray with me?" Don't try to go through it by yourself. That's why God gave you a church family. That's why God gave you a pastor. I appreciate the kindness of people that say, "I know he's busy and I don't want to bother him. You can't bother me." When you're going through a burden and you know it's got to go on the truck, but you're looking at all of them saying, I can't lift all this. I would be honored for you to call me or get a hold of me and say, "Pastor, I need help. There's a burden, and I need help getting it to the truck. I need help letting go of it and saying it's God's. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." What did God do? God had Moses share the burden. Number two, though, God reminded Moses whose job it was to carry the burden. See, God in love corrected Moses' statement. Moses said, "God, why did you put this burden on me?" God reminded him, "Moses, you're putting that burden on you. It's my burden to carry." Yeah. Look what it says in verse 21 of Numbers chapter 11. And God and Moses said to the people, let's see, I don't think that's the right verse. Verse 21. Yes, okay. And Moses said, "The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said," so Moses is quoting God, "I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month." He's saying, and look at verse 23. "And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not." God reminded Moses, not only did he have Moses share the burden with others, but he said, "Moses, don't forget something. It's not your job to carry it. I don't work for you. You work for me. I'm the one that's going to get them there. I'm the one that's going to build my church. I'm the one that's going to make sure that my children don't go without. I'm the healer. I'm the provider. I'm the protector. You work for me." So this burden that you're saying, "It's too heavy, God. Why did you let me have this?" He's saying, "You think it's heavy because you're trying to carry something that I'm supposed to carry for you." So number two, he reminded Moses whose job it was to carry the burden. Number three, I love this. He showed Moses that he was actually stronger than he thought he was. Here's what sometimes we do. Even when we know, all right, I know I'm supposed to take my burden to the Lord, but this hail bale is, this thing's serious. I don't even think I can pick it up and give it to God. It keeps falling off, and I have to keep trying to get, this one's too heavy. Moses had more strength than he thought he was, because look at verse 17. Look at verse 17 of Numbers chapter 11. Look what God did. He's telling Moses to go pick out the 70 elders that'll help you carry the burden. But God makes sure that he includes something in this when he's talking to Moses to show Moses, you had the strength you needed all along. You're strong enough. No, you're not strong enough to pick it up and carry it. But you are strong enough to put it on the wagon. Look what it says in verse 17. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of thee the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. Now, when it says Spirit here, this is not saying that I'm going to give them the same mindset that you have. He's talking about power. This is the same word that when Elisha said, Lord, I want to have a double portion of the Spirit of Elijah. I want to have double the power that Elijah had. Okay, so Spirit's talking about power. Look what it says here in verse 17 again. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear not thyself alone. Here's what happened. Moses said, God, I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough power. The situation is too difficult. It's too heavy. Why'd you put all this on me? I can't carry it. God did not look down and say, all right, let me get some 70 others and I'll give them some power also. He said, Moses, I already gave you enough power you needed to carry the burden and put it on the truck. So what I'm going to do is take that Spirit, that power, that strength that I already gave you for it, and I'm going to take it off of you. That's why it says of, the Spirit of you. I'm going to take it off of you, and I'm going to distribute it among the other 70. And they'll help you carry it. But notice what happened. God didn't have to give any more power. He'd already gave it. Moses had enough. He had enough from the beginning. All God did was just remove from Moses the power that he's not using and distributed it to the other 70. Did that make sense? Moses, I'm going to give you the 70 because you made the statement, I can't do this alone, but I'm going to teach you a lesson in the meantime. You do have enough strength. You're panicking because you're looking at the whole wagon and saying it's too much. I gave you enough strength. I don't even have to give more power to the 70. I'm just going to take off of you what I gave you to lift it. You know, a lot of times when we look and say, God, I just can't do it. There's just no way I can't do it. It's too heavy. I don't want you to carry it. I just want you to load it. I just want you to give it to me. But Lord, I can't even pick it up. Just like Moses, God has made sure that we all have enough strength to reach down and pick it up one at a time and turn and just put it on him. Just put it on him. Our daughter, Avonlea, she gets overwhelmed. She overwhelms herself very easily. She's 3. Bethany and I will hear her crying in her bedroom, and we'll go in there to see what's going on. And she'll be, you know, trying to fit her stuffed animal down inside her purse, and she's trying, and it won't fit. And she's trying to zip it closed. And what she does is she'll sit there and try by herself for a long time until finally she can't get it. So she'll stress herself out and eventually get overwhelmed and finally just stop and starts crying. And so we'll go in there and we're trying to teach her, Avonlea, don't cry. Just ask mommy and daddy for help. You're trying to do it by yourself. Just ask us for help. There was a story of a dad and a son, and they went to a local park, the neighborhood park, and the little boy found the big sand pit, the sandbox, and so he went in there and started playing. And while he was playing, he discovered something hard underneath the sand, and so dug around it, saw a big rock. And so drove him nuts that there's a rock in the sand pit. And he wanted to have it just the pure sand in there. And so tried to pick, it was too heavy. So he little by little kind of would make a path move some of the sand away, and he'd push it and push it, and it took all his strength. And finally, little by little, he finally got it all the way to the edge of the sandbox. And then he tried to pick it up and pull it over the side of the ledge of the sandbox, but it took all the strength he had just to move it sideways. There's no way he could pick it up, but he tried. He tried digging around it, getting his fingers underneath, and pulled as hard as he could. And the dad was just sitting there watching. And he was pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling and lifting, couldn't get it. Finally, like my daughter Avonlea, just got overwhelmed. I can't do this. I can't. Just like Moses. It's too heavy for me. I can't do it. Started crying. And so the dad looked down and said, son, why didn't you try lifting it with all of your strength? And that confused the little boy. And he looked up and said, Daddy, I did. It was too heavy for me. And he said, no, you didn't, son. You never asked me for help. And then with one hand, that dad reached down and picked up that rock and lifted it out and put it out of the sandbox. And he was trying to teach his little boy something. You've never exhausted all of your strength until you've called on Dad.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
If you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, what I've got going on in my life is just a lot. Boy, I can't lift it all." You might be sitting back and looking at everything together. And you're right, you can't. It's too heavy. But God has given you enough strength to reach down and pick up one and take it. God's not expecting you to carry it all. Just take it and load it on the truck. Say, "God, this is what I've got going on. You're the miracle worker. You're the provider. You're the healer. I need you to do this."
Amen.
And just take them to Him one at a time.
Yes.
You know, if you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, if you've never been born again, you're not sure heaven's your home, you're carrying a very heavy burden.
Yes.
And God, as Jesus came and died on the cross 2,000 years ago,
Amen.
So that any human being can take that burden of eternal security, what's going to happen to me after I die, and they can take that burden to the cross and say, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know if I died without you, I'd go to hell. I believe you died and rose again, and I'm asking you to save me." And you can put that burden on Him. He'll carry it for you.
Yeah.
What do we do with our burdens? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for everything you've given us.